Aisha, and I'm a former host of Mocha Single Mothers by Choice, or SMCs. Like you, as an SMC, I decided to become a mother knowing I'd be the sole care provider and parent for my children, at least at the outset. The Mocha stood for Black, so I'm using the word Black, and I'll be discussing being a single mother by choice from a Black woman's lens. You'll connect with all the interesting and fun things about this non-traditional path, like discussing which sperm to use and some hard truths about fertility and the realities of dating as a single mother who doesn't have a co-parent to rely on occasionally, and what it's actually like to parent as an S&C. This is the Black Single Mothers by Choice podcast. What are my options if I can't find a Black donor and I want my child to match my skin color?
Okay, so this is a good question. We see this a lot. I'd say probably 80% of the mamas who come to our space are wanting to have a child that looks like them, a brown child or what have you. So we're seeing this question a lot more. And so I think I've recounted at some point what my experience was getting started and trying for my first. I was a novice. I was new, didn't know any Black SMCs. And so I relied on my fertility clinic a bit. They gave me one particular bank and they were like, choose sperm, then buy two vials and then call us in the morning. I took the time to, I was excited. I went to the website, I put in my criteria, and then I got some matches and only six were Black. And I was like, okay. And so then at the time, everybody's saying, get an open ID donor because you want your kid to be able to meet the donor if they can at 18. So I filtered by open ID. They gave me two African-American donors. And I'm just like, oh, that can't be right. So then I was like, let me try this again and let me remove all of the filters and just put in, I removed all the filters and it was just only, it was like 550 donors. And I was like, wait, or is everybody across the country using these same 550 donors? And so I was just like, wow. And then there were only like six Black. So eventually I had to broaden my scope and said, okay, I don't want to be limited to use the same two donors that every Black woman in America is using. So let me broaden my scope. And so I started looking across the brown, Black color spectrum. Now, I had dated interracially when I was dating, so I knew that there were people who were not considered Black, but who were browner or just brown as me. And so that allowed me to just expand that search just a little bit. So I ended up finding a brown donor because more so than race, if I couldn't have an actual African-American donor, I wanted my child to visibly look like a Black child, look like they belong to me. And so then that took me into the brown spectrum. And so once I found brown, I also wanted hair texture that resembled mine just a bit and so that I can do cornrows. And so that for me, that was my ideal morning. My child would get up, have fresh corn, and then we would roll out the house. And so I ended up finding what I was looking for. It wasn't a Black donor, African-American donor, but it was a donor of color that was a brown donor. And so that's how I went about choosing my donor. You don't know what you're going to get once you have this baby, right? Because literally you got sperm and you are crossing your fingers that you're rolling the dice, right? Like any parent would on what your kid is going to look like. And I will tell you, I had a really funny moment where I was worried that my daughter wasn't going to get brown enough. Like her first summer, I'm like, oh my gosh, like wringing my hands, is the melanin going to kick in? And then my child had hairy ears. And so I'm just
like,
what kind of alien being did I create? And so eventually, probably as she moved into 1 year old, the hair eventually fell away. I could have been the mom of a child with hairy ears. And I decided I'm just going to love this little stranger that is going to make an appearance in the world. But it was funny because there are some funny moments as you're going through. And so it doesn't have to be something that's hair raising and hand wringing, but just know, like Harriet said, you don't know what you're going to get. And a bit funny because I was like, oh my gosh, can we trim this? And then secondly is that while I was given one bank, please know that there are many sperm banks that exist out there in the world. I was at the beginning stages. I did not know any better. So I just went with what my bank gave me. But there are tons of banks. And if you're in our space or in any FMC spaces, people will give you an idea of which banks have Black donors. And I love them because they will let us know new Black donor has appeared at a particular bank. And all that fun community building. Okay. Next question. Does IVF hurt? Oh, so I bruised with IVF, but I don't think it was too painful. Now, for people who are deathly afraid of needles and have a lower pain tolerance, it is going to be what it is going to be. Like I keep saying, you got to be in it to win it. I did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cycles of IVF. The first time it's like this black hole. You don't really know what to expect. People talk about the needles. The first time I did, I was just like, oh, is that it? So the needles were a thing, but you get over that once you learn to ice the area. You learn where to stick the needle. But after 4 or 5 IVF cycles, it's just like whatever. So here are some tips that I came about for getting through the needle portion of IVF. One tip: if you're using progesterone and oil, warm it. Either warm it between your hands, warm it in your bra. Make sure that it is warmer than room temperature, because then that makes the oil a bit more slick and less viscous. And so it'll draw into the needle easier and the injection is going to be easier. Also, I would say give yourself a treat. I always had a specific time to give my injections. And so you'll hear some people with harrowing stories like, I forgot my progesterone in the middle of the day. I had to do my shots. I picked the time of day where I was going to be calm, where it was just going to be relaxing to give my shots. That means it's either in the morning or in the evening when I knew I would be home. And so then I can set up my space. I would burn the candles. I would either have chocolate or wine waiting for me. I made it as if it was part of my self-care, right? Because in the grand scheme of things, taking control of your life and being an SMC is a whole life thing. So I made it a part of my self-care. And if you were like me, like you travel globally, like I would have bottles of wine that I was saving until I don't know when. I would open the wine. I would burn the candles that you're saving. And especially if it's red wine, because I think of red wine as opening all of the vessels. Anyway, I really treated it like it was me time. And it was time where I would just be in a real calm state, because if you're tense, your body is tense and the drugs in. But that was pretty much how I got through. Does IVF hurt? It depends on your pain tolerance, but there are things that you can do to make it more palatable.
Oh, this is a good one. My baby is 4 months old and they're losing their hair in patches. What can I do to stop this?
Like all of that stuff. Yeah. Changes once you hit the air. So expect your baby's skin to get acne or eczema, because their body, their skin is adjusting to life outside of the womb, which can be quite harsh, right? And so they're going to go through all of these different changes. And hair loss, unfortunately, is one of the changes, because their baby hair, that in utero hair, is starting to change and starting to fall out. Also, they are getting different nutrients when they're outside. And, you know, they were exposed to your hormones, pregnancy hormones, when they were in utero as well. So all of that starts to balance out and become a bit normal. Now, I nursed for quite a bit. I didn't notice if my child had as much hair loss, but sleeping on their back and rubbing their head, that's the slowest part of her hair to grow. And then I didn't notice a lot of hair loss on my own head until I started weaning from nursing. So then, and now it's starting to come back in just a little bit, but these changes are going to happen. It's a normal fact. And please don't go through any extreme measures to hold on to the hair, because you're going to be heartbroken every time you go to change the sheets and hair. And sometimes you can see the hair. So just roll with it. Everybody's going to say cute baby anyway. Nobody's going to say, yeah, look at that bald baby. Nobody's going to say that. I will say so with my first child, oh, poor, she was baldy. Like all she had was a patch of hair in the front, this patch of hair in the front. And I would say, similar to her, I tried really hard to not emphasize hair. I'm glad that she got to see me do the big chop and transition my hair and see it grow and see it short and see it long. And then that way it's just part of the landscape in our family. And then also we've cut her hair at least twice. And so now she's starting to have preferences about what she wants to see or what she wants to do to her hair. I just say, yeah, if we could de-emphasize that a bit, just de-emphasize it. Just let the kid just be and grow into, because I can tell you, trying to do cornrows or trying to do a kid's hair in general can sometimes be traumatic, especially if they have tender heads or what have you. So I don't even look at hair anymore. It is something that I have to do and something I have to get her through, because it is just such a scene in our home. And so I just want it neat, and I just don't want to have the tears. Next question. My child is getting to the reading age, and I'm noticing that most of these books at her level feature white kids with a mom and a dad. How can I be intentional about what he's reading so that they're able to also see their family and themselves reflected in what they're reading? I really want to make sure my kid is where I need them to be, and it extends out to their friends, but that requires more effort on my part to be extroverted. I'm not that. Thank goodness for Amazon, for everything that people can say about Amazon. Amazon has really broadened the accessibility to diverse books and diverse materials for kids. And so I've really leveraged that. In my household, I will rarely have books that have white characters. And so my approach is different. As a Black person, I don't look to the schools to do anything more for my kid. I believe that they will offer books the way that they offer history lessons, that there's a gap in what is actually the reality classroom. So I've always looked at teaching in the classroom as I'm going to heavily supplement for my daughter and whomever friends are around. To that extent, I was proactive about finding Black books, Black authors and things like that. So we do have I Love My Hair, which is a fun book. Our ultimate favorite is I Like Myself, I Like Me, and Frizzy Haired Brown Child. I Love Myself, I Love Me. I am who I'm meant to be. And even when I look a mess, I don't love me any less. Definitely one of our favorite little books. So I keep a rotation, and not just books that imply making up for something that is lacking, right? So I don't want books that is just, oh, you're great. I want books that show Black children, Black families doing everyday Black things, like going to school, going to the park, playing with friends, making dinner and cooking. And so I really try to go out of my way to find diverse books, diverse characters, and things like that. If you go to our website, mochasnc.com, we actually have a section on Black affirming books, which are books that both Hera and I have in our library. We got together, we put together this list. Our ultimate favorite earlier this year is a book, Tallulah, the Tooth Fairy CEO. And it is the cutest book. And so, yeah, I get a kick out of buying kids' books with diverse characters because they didn't exist when I was a kid. So now I relive all of that affirmation. And so, yeah, I say seek it out. And then I would go the extra mile. Parents were allowed in the classroom prior to the pandemic, where they would have days where you would do readings like every Thursday or something, and a parent would come up. And those would be the opportunities that I would bring in the Black affirming books to read to them and dare the teacher to tell me no. That was a lot of fun in my thumb to the establishment. But yeah, it takes us all.
What are some things I can do to support my body while trying to conceive?
Good question. During the time and the periods that I'm trying to conceive, it's all about me, right? And I put those firm boundaries in place. If that means limiting my interactions with people who stress me out, limiting stressful situations, because stress will impact the body and trying to conceive is part of the body. And I would do things that are enriching to my body. I would eat better foods, drink the red wine, but I would indulge in things that are extremely healthy and healing to my body as I'm going. Drink lots of water, watch lots of funny shows, find ways to divert myself from the actual process, but really just being intentional about who's around you, what music you're listening to, what you're watching, what you're consuming, both food-wise. And funny story, I spent both of my pregnancies trying to find a prenatal massage that had a table with a cutout. And then when my second pregnancy turned into the shit show that it was, I was just like, oh, there goes that, because everything was just then a rush. But yeah, I would say if massage is your thing, find that massage place that has a table with the cutout.
Mm-hmm. I'm having trouble getting pregnant and I see all of my friends popping out babies. I'm having a really hard time being happy for them. How should I handle the fact that I want to be happy for them, but I can't help being frustrated about my own situation? I say honor your feelings because it reveals itself in unexpected and unintended ways. Mm-hmm. Other people's lives are not a reality show. It's just a crack into what their entire lives is about. Making the assumption that someone got pregnant easily, the assumption that, oh, why are they getting married and not, is a real assumption to make, because we all know that everything is not what it seems. Now, that being said, own your feelings and decide what boundaries you need to put in place. If it is too triggering to go to a baby shower or have these conversations early in the pregnancy, buy yourself some time. There are ways that you can gracefully have these conversations. You can say, I've got this huge project at work. I'm so happy for you. And then send them a gift package. This is totally a situation where you could throw money at it if you have it. Send them body butters to buy some time to get through this fictional project, which is just buying yourself some grace and space. Also, I've been in this situation. I've been the adult woman pining for kids and family members popping out babies, having baby showers, giving abortions, having more babies, and then having to sit on the sidelines and be like, this is not right. This is not fair. Mm-hmm. And so at some point, you do hit a breaking point where you have to say, this baby shower, I can't go to. This mm-hmm. wedding reception, I can't really support. And so just trying to think of graceful ways. So maybe you do send the gift. Maybe you go to the baby shower, but you have something booked after during that time. So you legitimately have a graceful exit. Like, I can only spend 45 minutes here and I want to see you open your gifts and then I'm going to go. What time do you think you'll be opening gifts? And then you're there, you put in face and then you're out. It is a real precarious situation because there are so many emotions involved on all parts. And you want to make sure that you navigate that with some care. What do you say to women who look at this path as a last option for broken and downtrodden women?
On an off day, I will say, you don't have to choose this path, period. But when I'm in my right mind and I've had time to process the root of what they're feeling, again, at the end of this life, you want to be proud of the choices that you've made. And so this is a choice. It's not a choice for the broken. It's not a choice for the downtrodden. This is a journey toward joy and the manifestation of all the love that you wanted to see in your life. And because life didn't happen in a specific order for you, that doesn't mean that you have to sidestep motherhood. Most of the people who come to this path have wanted to be mothers for a really long time, have wanted to parent children for a really long time. Eventually you learn your kids will find you. And so this is a path where you should feel joy, you should feel empowered, and it's not a path for everyone. So choose wisely. And trust and believe, the space is full of attractive women who are smart women, right? And if you want to do this with a partner, there's a plethora of options there. Are they the right partner? Are they right parenting material? I don't know. That's up to you. That's the risk you take. We find a partner for dating. We absolutely can find a partner for dating. A lot of us have carved out this time specifically and put dating on hold so that we can focus on the mothering piece. We want it to be mothers outside of everything. Mm-hmm. Else, careers, dating, marriage, we want it to parent children.
This is a good question. What is your approach to exposing your children to the different options that are available to them?
I think by having certain adults in your life help to broaden the scope for you, teachers, college professors, or what have you, can be a real help when you get to that point. Some of the things that I did, when you're becoming an SMC, you're like Michelle Obama, you're becoming, right? It is all a journey, right? The whole 9 months leading up, the trying to conceive, it is all a journey. So you have time to think about how you want to parent, the type of parent you want to be, and the things you want to expose your kids to. So for me, it's about exposure. And so what activities are there in your community, in your neighborhood? And there are probably meetup groups, there are community center, there are YMCAs, there are nature-based hikes, Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, whatever. all of these different types of organizations are meant to just expose your kids to the variety of things that they can do. Like we all know swimming, ballet, dancing, the different sports, and also the wealth of different things. Take them to museums, take them to the library. Key thing here is talk to your kids. Like you will be amazed at the things that they pick up through osmosis. Like my daughter, she has come to my job. She knows what my friends do. Leverage the different social circles that you have. You know, I have friends who are in media and marketing, senior VPs, physical therapists. And so have your kids talk with them, build those relationships so that they get a broad range of different ideas. Point out things on your commute if you commute with your kid. Like my daughter was like, she wanted to be, we saw buildings being built from the ground up. And she's just like, oh, mommy, I want to build buildings. I want to make things. And I'm just like, you can definitely be an engineer. You can be an architect. You can design buildings and skyscrapers. Mm-hmm. Just spark their interest in things. My daughter's going to build me a house. We talk about this house on our way to work. She's, mommy, what do you want the backyard to look like? What do you want your bedroom to look like? And so just feed into the things that they're interested in. My daughter is a budding artist. So on the architecture side, you can design landscapes and buildings and hardscapes, whatever it is that they want to do, elevate it for them. So they are at the highest peak for that thing. And if they fall somewhere in between, that's awesome. But if they get to the peak of what they love to do, my job is done. So you have all of these different opportunities to expose them. But key thing is talk to your kids, watch your kids, observe that they're interested in and give them more of that, as well as exposing them to other things, just so that they have a clear picture of what the possibilities are. That you can leverage the SMC community. We have a broad range of careers, different socioeconomic levels represented. When I saw that my daughter was a budding artist, I reached out to one of the SMCs that is an artist. And I'm like, hey, can you show me some kids' books that will stoke this, any programming that will further inspire? And then last thing I want to leave off with is parent the kid in front of you, because there's nothing more harmful than trying to fit a square peg in a round hole because you set out that my kid is going to be this. Let them be who they are and what they're going to be. You will have a much richer bond with your kid because of it. All right, last question. We get this one a lot. How do you deal with unsolicited advice from family, friends, and strangers? I will tell you, I tend to walk around when I have my kids with resting bitch face. I'm not here for the play. And so for strangers, I rarely get questions or assumptions from strangers other than what they would infer and microaggress against Black women. But for family and friends, they will usually lead the conversation with, I wouldn't want to do that. I'm not sure. Oh, that's so sad for you. And my clipped response is, thank you. Luckily, it's my life and not yours, right? These are decisions for me and not you. So what you might not be able to handle, I definitely can handle. And we're different people. And then shuts down the conversation. Keep in mind that also people tend to speak from a real self-centered perspective. And so they're speaking to what their needs are and not necessarily seeing you or your needs. And then to the people who are like, why don't you just go to a bar and get knocked up? Mm-hmm. Do you not know how babies are made? Do you not know the risk that you're exposing your body to from a health STI and STD perspective? I would hate to have to also carry an HIV status with me along with my pregnancy. So let me be caution.
Full Pod, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with your girlfriends, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topics covered in this episode. So email me at mochasmc@gmail.com. If you found value in the topics covered, consider making a donation using the link in the show notes below. Till next time, Pod. Bye now.